If I had not gotten that infection, I would not have known about this. And if I had not known about this, this would have turned into something worse. And we're getting it taken care of. And he says, God is so good. And he started quoting scripture to me. He started talking about God's grace and God's love and all that. And I'm thinking, you know what? I wish we had that passion for God all the time. But sometimes it takes something incredible, the big things, for us to recognize God. Have you ever noticed that all of the bad things emotionally, well, not all of them, but a lot of the bad things emotionally that we deal with starts with the letter D? Have you ever noticed that? That's something that I have noticed. Can you think of a negative emotion that you may be having or have had that starts with a D? Depression. What was that? Death is not an emotion. It's a fact of life. But it does start with a D, and it is a terrible thing.
Distress,
okay? Somebody else.
Disappointment.
Okay. What is it? Disillusion. That's a real good one.
Discomfort.
I heard disaster over here. Okay. We're getting into things that happen, not emotions. I'm trying to keep you on emotions. Y'all just go downhill so fast.
Dissatisfaction.
Denial. How about divided? Divided, that's an emotion. I used to tease my mother-in-law all the time and said I had mixed emotions. It was when I saw my mother-in-law go off a cliff in my new Cadillac. That's mixed emotions. Disenfranchised, disillusion. How about doubt? Doubt's another one. If you have your Bible with you, I want you to turn to Psalms 42 and 43. I've got it on your notes just in case you didn't. I've got 42 on your notes just in case you didn't bring your Bible. But if you have a Bible app or a Bible on your phone or a Bible in your hand, I want to kind of go through that real quick with you. Because one of the things you need to understand is a lot of times we as men have put things together. And Psalms 42 has become a chapter of the Bible, and we kind of study it as a chapter of the Bible by ourselves. But my study tells me that Psalms 42 and 43 go together. And I want you to look at some things tonight. The older Hebrew manuscripts have them as one. And then there's a repetition of refrain in both of the Psalms, Psalms 42, 5 and 11, and then 43 in verse 5. And Psalms 43 brings closure and complement to Psalms 42. And an absence of inscription or title for Psalms 43 is very unusual in book 2 of the Psalms. And the last thing I want you to know about these two Psalms is I want you to know that we have no idea who wrote these, and we have no idea why they wrote these, okay? But these are good psalms. Now, in just a minute, we're going to read 42 and 43. They're not very long, but I want to talk to you about something that I am seeing in the world today. There is a lot, and I'm talking about a whole lot, of discouragement going on. And there is a lot of despair going on. At both sides of the political arena, there's a lot of despair. If you've talked to either side of or either party, there's a lot of despair about what's going on in the country. If you read the news, you get disillusioned, I think, by what's going on in the world. There is a lot of discouragement. And I think Psalms 42 and 43 really take us to where we need to go. So if you have your Bible, who has this and is a good reader tonight? Who? Ruth, you going to do it? Or? All right. Ruth, you want to do it? We're going to bring a microphone to you so everybody can hear you.
Psalms
42. 42 and 43.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Very good. Very good. If you'll notice in that, in verse 5 in 43, and then in verse 6, or I'm sorry, in verse 5 of Psalms 42, and then verse 11, that refrain is in there, kind of very similar to the choruses that we sing in our song. So that gives me an indication that this should all go together. But the gist of this, and if you have your lesson notes, we're going to talk about the question of despair. And I have learned a long time ago is if we can identify our emotions, we can deal with them better. A lot of times we're just upset and we don't even know why. But if we can identify why we're upset, and you know, a lot of times it's because we're scared or because we're lonely or because something has happened. If we can identify what's going on in us, have you ever had one of those days where you just didn't feel right, but you weren't sure what it was? I'm not the only one. Some of you are shaking your head. I mean, there's days you're like, what's wrong with you, Neil? And I'm like, I really don't know. And so I want to talk about this idea of despair. Number one, despair is an emptiness. There's an emptiness from time to time, and that emptiness is not an emptiness like I haven't had enough to eat. That's an emptiness that I am done, I'm spent, I don't have anything left. Have you ever had those moments? It may be that you had them in school, it may be that you've had them when you're in a struggle, but there's those moments where you just don't feel like you have anything left. As they say in the sports arena, I left it all on the court. And there are some times where we have that emptiness. The second thing is I want you to see about despair is there's a hopelessness. There's a hopelessness. And I deal with people from time to time, and they will come in and they are hopeless. That no matter what solution you give them, they have a problem for every solution that you come up with. They're just hopeless. They just think that I can't deal with this anymore. And then number three, there is a loneliness. And I have seen people who are in crowds of people, surrounded by people, but still very, very alone. One of the things I try to get every new member to do is to make some friends. Now, everybody knows that I love them. But there's no way that I can be close friends with everyone. It's just impossible. There's not enough hours in the day. Now, I try to be as close to as many as I can. I try to be around people as much as I can. But it's just physically, humanly impossible for me to be close to everybody. Now, I can love everyone, but to be real close to everyone, it's not always easy. And, you know, from time to time, friends of mine will say, Neil, you know, we haven't hung out in a while. And I'm like, well, I know, but you don't understand. I've got all this going on, and it's not that I don't want to hang out with people all the time, but I just only have so many hours in a day. But there's a lot of loneliness going on in the world today. I mean, you would not believe the people that I've talked to that when you get deep down, and I'm not talking about people in the church, but when you get deep down to a lot of people, they feel very, very alone. And there's some people in the church that feel that way as well. So that brings that despair. And then there's faithlessness. And that's where you've lost your faith. You just don't think God is able. It doesn't mean that you don't believe in God, but there is a disconnect between you and God. Now, the reason why I put these in here tonight is because if you're out in the world, if you're working with people, if you're associating with people, which we all need to associate with those in the world. You know, we hang with Christians that make us better, but we associate with everyone. And as you associate with everyone, we need to understand that most of the people that we're dealing with is dealing with this in some way. They've got some kind of symptom of despair. And in dealing with that, and you know, we have some clinical people here that help people with their emotions and stuff like that, but wouldn't it be awesome if the people that didn't need clinical help could come to a church where they could talk about their emptiness? They could talk about how they lost their faith. They could talk about their hopelessness in their situation. Better yet, that they could feel loved and not lonely. You see, when God created His church, He created it as a hospital for people who were sinners and dying in their sin. And He created the church to be a lifeline to those people. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, churches have become more of a country club than they've become a hospital. I'll never forget a young lady. She had only been to church twice. She had no church background whatsoever, and I was preaching, and whatever I was preaching, I don't remember that day, but it convicted her heart. God's word got in her heart. And it wasn't at this church, it was at another church, and she comes walking down front because I gave the invitation. She came walking down front. She didn't know what an invitation was, but she knew she needed to respond, and she came, and she put her knees on this step and then laid her head on that step. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen in my life, but this was someone that was broken, that was laying their life before God. And I sat down next to her, and I put my hand on her back and let her get a hold of her emotion. And after she got a hold of her emotion, we talked and we prayed for her. It was a very moving thing for me. But on the way out, I had somebody come up to me and say, Neil, what was that all about? And it crushed me. Because I realize that we've got people that don't care. God intended for us to love this world and to be light and to be salt. But we're so caught up in our own stuff that we can't be those things. There's causes for despair, and these are six that are related in the scriptures here. The first one is sin. There's a lot of people that are in despair right now, and it's because of sin. It could be a private sin that they're dealing with. It could be a something that they've done in their past, but sin is a reason for people's despair. I see it all the time. You want to see somebody that is emotionally depressed and dealing with some bad things, 9 times out of 10, it is sin that they're having a battle with. And if you're battling with sin, it's going to cause you despair eventually. Number two is great loss. And you mentioned just a minute ago, death. And that will cause you despair. I got to tell you, I don't even know how I'm going to handle doing my friend's funeral in October. I mean, that's a huge loss for me. His name's Randy, if you don't know who I'm talking about. But Randy and I were best buddies. We hung out together almost 5 days a week, working together. And we were together almost every day, and we were talking almost every day, and we were hanging out together almost every day. And when we built this building, Randy and I were here every day doing something. And when you spend that much time, which, by the way, you want to have a relationship with somebody, you need to spell love, T-I-M-E. Parents, your kids spell love, T-I-M-E. So great loss is a cause of despair. Number three, exhaustion is a great cause of despair. I got this, it's taken from the Psalms. It's a play on Psalms 23. I want you to listen to this. Because I had dinner with somebody last night and I told them that their biggest problem is that they needed to sit down and they couldn't do it. They were on the go all the time, and they were happy about being on the go all the time, but their life was falling apart, and they didn't understand why their life was falling apart. I said, because you haven't sat down and spent time thinking about life. I wasn't even trying to take it to a spiritual realm. But we need to sit sometimes. Look, listen to this. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when I'm exhausted. It leads me into great depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal is with me. Deadlines and the needs for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. Isn't that cool? Number four, great success. Great success will cause despair. I have heard this about Alexander the Great, but when he conquered his last he had his last victory and conquered the last known world to him, he cried and went into a depression because he says, are there no more worlds to conquer? He'd conquered the entire world. Buzz Aldrin came back from space, and when he came back from space, it's to be an astronaut, to go into space, to everybody knows your name, he came back and he dealt with despair. Now, astronauts, when they go into space, before they go in, they have to have a project lined up so that when they come back from space, they automatically go to work on that project so that they don't go into depression. Now, number five, causes of despair, relationships. Relationships can cause despair. You can have a relationship, a close relationship, husband and wife, and it'll cause despair sometime because somebody won't be holding up their end of the bargain. You can have a relationship with a family member, a child or something, and they're going off the rails, and it'll cause despair. And you can have a relationship with someone who's just a friend, but they have become negative or they have become a weight on you. And it will cause despair. And number six, problems. I got problems, you got problems, all of God's children's got problems. But if we let our problems take over our life, it's going to become a despair. Now, we don't know who wrote this Psalms, but the things that I gather from this Psalms regarding despair, I think will help you if you're dealing with this. And I'm so glad that we're recording this and got it all under, because there's a lot of people that will want to come to me and say, hey, help me with my despair, help me with my depression. And these are Christians, and this, I'll just say, hey, watch the video and then come talk to me. I'm doing a counseling session for hundreds of people all at once, and it's through Psalms 42. Any questions or anything so far before I get into this? I am so grateful that you guys just let me go on and on and on. All right. When I feel like God has left me, I should look for places to meet Him. When I feel like God has left me, I should look for places to meet Him. I love that song. As a deer pants for the for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? One of the things that we talked about last week was praising God and how that brings you into God's presence. And that's the reason why I love the fact that we have online services, and those of you who are watching online, thank you for watching online. I love that we have that ability, but there is nothing like being with the people of God. There's nothing like singing with the people of God. And a lot of times we feel like God has left us because we have been away from God, and we need to go to the places where we can meet Him. And I think the very first place to meet Him is in worship. Comments, questions on that? I'm doing a great job, evidently. When I start to doubt if there is a God, I should remember the times I experienced Him. When I start to doubt if there is a God, anybody in here ever doubted if there was a God? Okay, put your hands up if you have doubted at one point in your life whether there was a God. Okay. Those of you who've never doubted, you're either lying or you're amazing. One of the two. And I'm just going to tell you that if you don't doubt at some time, I don't know how you do it. Because I have doubts at times. And it's not something I deal with a lot now, but when I was growing up, I at one point in my life, I tried my best to disprove what my dad was preaching and what he was going. I learned more Bible by trying to disprove the Bible than I ever did doing anything else. And the reason why I tried to disprove the Bible was because I was in a rebellious state against my dad. But the bottom line was, is I just wanted to believe that there was no God. And there's times to times where you will read something or something will hit you and you're not prepared for it. And you go, well, maybe what I think is not true. When I start to doubt if there is a God, I should remember the times I experienced Him. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? Can you identify with that? Bonnie.
I think sometimes that...
Did turned it off, no?
I got on. Sometimes when we see something bad happen, not necessarily to us, but to someone else, and it really gets to us, and we'll say, God, how can you let that happen? Where are you? And I don't know what he says. I think I've thought in my mind, I'm here. But I think it's worse when something bad happens to someone else who's good, who we believe it shouldn't have happened to, and we call on God and say, why did you let that happen? Easy to put the blame there, I think.
I don't know how many times I've been in people's homes when they've gone through a bad situation, whether it be a death of a child or something bad happening, and people will just cry out, why God? And I don't necessarily believe that they have lost their faith, but they are trying to find that answer. Why God? It says here, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitudes leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. You see, when we experience God, and I have to tell you, from time to time when I'm feeling like I'm not where I need to be spiritually, where I need to be in terms of leading and doing the things I need to do, from time to time, I have to think back and I have to remember. There's something so wonderful about remembering things. Shaq's not here, but I remember being in the Dominican Republic with the group that went down there with him. And one of the things that Shaq said is every night, is I want you to tell us where you saw God today. And that was such a great exercise for me and for the teens there. And everybody that was there got a whole lot out of it, because they had to look during the day so that when they came back at night, they could say, where did I see God? And for us to remember places and times where we saw God. I mentioned a few weeks ago about being a teenager and looking up into the heavens and seeing the star and seeing creation and realizing how insignificant I am and how grand God is. I experienced God there. I experienced God here in this building from time to time. And I don't think that every time we come into this building we're going to experience God. I think everything has to be right with us. I think God's here every time, but I think everything has to be right inside of us for us to experience Him. So it's not going to happen all the time. Yes?
The one thing for me is, it's not that I doubt there is a God, so I'm not magnificent, and I am telling the truth. But I have to slow down, in reference to your thing, I need to slow down to truly experience God and to take in what He has given me and not take things for granted and not take this things that He's done on this earth, whether it be animals, flowers, whatever it could be, human beings, that I have to slow down and recognize those things. I don't doubt there is a God, but I need to see it and do that.
Right. You need to take time to slow down.
I need to take time to slow down.
Very good. Very good. Anything else? Anybody else?
It's like in the psalm we studied last week, Psalm 8, where it says, be still and know that I'm God.
Right.
Jesus did that in His ministry. There would be many times when He would get up early or stay up late at night and go out into a lonely place to pray and just to be still.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Here's the next one. When I feel like there's nothing left of me, I should praise God. Now, if you've ever had that feeling where you felt like you've got nothing left, is the first thing you think about doing, is that praising God? No, not at all. Not at all. But when you feel like you've got nothing left, that is the best time to praise God, because as I mentioned in the Psalms about praise, when we praise God, we release His power. So a lot of times when I feel like I've got nothing left, I will listen to some praise music. And that gives me strength to get through what I'm going through. It says here, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Letter D, when I just can't take another step, I should remember the big and little things that God has done. I need to remember the big and the little things that God has done. I think, Lisa, that was kind of what you were saying. It's not that we doubt that God's here. It's not that we doubt that God is real. It's just sometimes we need to think about the big and the little things. I wish I could have recorded the conversation I had with Bill Collette tonight. He's got to go under surgery, but the prognosis is good that he'll be all right and there won't be any problems. He's going to have that surgery. They're going to remove that tumor. They may have to go in and do some additional work, but overall, the surgeon said, this is something we can take care of. And he was talking to me about that, and he was saying, Neil, I have never been so excited about this, because if I had not gotten that infection, I would not have known about this. And if I had not known about this, this would have turned into something worse. And we're getting it taken care of. And he says, God is so good. And he started quoting scripture to me. He started talking about God's grace and God's love and all that. And I'm thinking, you know what? I wish we had that passion for God all the time. But sometimes it takes something incredible, the big things, for us to recognize God. But God is in the little things. God is in the people that you come in contact with. If we start looking at the waitress or the waiter that's waiting on us and realizing this may be a divine appointment, that I have a chance to share with someone. One of Patty's dear friends, we mentioned her tonight, but her husband was an amazing evangelist, Jerry Talman. He's passed, but he was an amazing evangelist, and I think what made him such an amazing evangelist was that every person he came in contact with, he saw it as a divine appointment, his opportunity to share God with others. And if we could have a whole church that was doing that, then we would have to build a bigger building, because there would not be enough room. Letter D. When I can't take another step, I should remember the big and little things God has done. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mazar. Letter E. When I am overwhelmed by life, I should sing and pray, asking God for help. Anybody ever feel overwhelmed with life? Some of you are raising both hands. How many of you feel like that you'll never get it done? Good. It's not just me. One of the problems I have is when I'm writing a class or I'm preparing for a class, I never feel like it's finished. When I'm preaching a sermon, putting a sermon together, I never feel like I've done enough study or done enough. Is anybody in here an artist? Paints, maybe? We have no artists in here? They're not here tonight? Okay. Laverne Williams, I know she's an artist. And one of the things that I've heard from other artists is they never want to finish their painting. It's never done. And that's the way my life feels sometimes. When I am overwhelmed by my life, I should sing and pray, asking God for help. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All of your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Comments, questions? Mm-hmm. Okay, we didn't get the mic to you in time, but Jerry, when he was also a painter, he was a great evangelist, but he was also a painter, and he said when he got through painting, he signed his name on it so he wouldn't look at it anymore, right? He just wouldn't do anything more after he signed his name. Okay. Well, good, good. All right. When it feels like God has forgotten you and nothing is going right, put your hope in God's deliverance. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by enemies? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, I'm telling you all of these things so that you can deal with your emotions when you're having them. I'm telling you all of these things so that you can have scripture to go to people with. There's one of the things that I will never forget on the radio. This lady was talking about her life, and she was talking about the bad things that had happened to her in her life. And she had become a Christian, and she went down a list, and it was close to being Job. And I don't know whether it was true or she was just trying to make it up or whatever, but I mean, I listened because this lady's story was horrific. It would put any story that any of us have to shame. This lady was just, I mean, it's just amazing. And it was a Christian psychologist that she'd called in to listen to, and I'm like, oh man, I cannot wait to hear this. Because this lady says, I know I'm a Christian, and I know that God has saved me, but my depression gets so bad at times I want to take my life. And my heart just broke for this woman because I thought, it really sounds like she has nothing left. And I'm like, what is this guy going to say? What is this guy going to say? And he told her how sorry he was that she was dealing with all this and how he was going to pray for her. And then he said these words, and it was just like aha moment for me. He says, when you start thinking all of these things about yourself, you need to go to God's Word. And you need to read God's Word about who you are and what He's done for you. Because the tapes that you're playing in your mind of the bad things that have happened, and you're worthless, and nobody loves you, and all of this, and that God couldn't love you, and all those tapes, they are continually playing in your mind, and you need to replace those with Scripture. And by replacing those with Scripture, you're going to reframe who you are as a person, as a child of God. I wish I could tell you the end of that story, but I mean, she got off the radio. I don't know anything else that happened. But I thought that was the best thing ever. And so when you're talking to people who are dealing with despair, depression, disillusionment, whatever it is, you can take them to Scripture and you can help them find what they need. If you are like me, and I've confessed this before, we talked about it last week spiritually, where I'm kind of up and down, but emotionally I'm kind of up and down. I have days where I am just on top of the world and everything's going great and I'm happy to see everybody, and then I have days where I'm down here and I don't even want to be around me, much less anybody else. And I have those days where I fight to get out of my depression. I was so thankful to find out that my father dealt with depression. I mean, if there's ever a guy that knows scriptures, ever a guy that walked the walk and talked the talk, it's my father. But he deals with depression, and it got so bad they had to put him on medicine. There's a fellow by the name of Dow Flat, and he dealt with depression his entire life, and he and I had a wonderful conversation because he knew my dad dealt with depression, and he wanted to see if I was dealing with depression, because a lot of preachers deal with depression, and he wanted to know how I was dealing with it. And I said, well, you know, I force myself to do two things. Number one, I force myself to get around other people, because when I become focused on other people, then I'm not focused on myself. And the other thing is I try to exercise to get my endorphins going so that my depression doesn't last too long. And he says, those are good things there, Neil. But if you ever need to get on medicine, you get on medicine. Dow Flat was the head of Freed Hardeman's Bible department. This was not a guy that didn't know his Bible. He'd been preaching for years as well as teaching school. And his doctor switched his medicine. And 2 weeks later, he killed himself. Depression is real, and if you're dealing with depression and you need clinical help, get it. But if you're dealing with depression and you've been able to conquer it or overcome it in some way, don't be scared to tell people, because you may be able to help somebody that's going through a bad time. And the other thing, when you confess your issues, I don't want to call it sin, but when you confess your issues to others about depression, you share the load. It's half as heavy when you confess what you're dealing with. I say all that to you because there are some of you who are like me, that you're dealing with something, and it may not be depression, but it may be something that you're dealing with in your life, or you've had to deal with in your life, and God gave you that for a reason. He didn't give you that so that you could just be miserable. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. And underline these words, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ flows over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Comments, questions, concerns, consternation. Yes, Ruth. Seems like we should sing the song that goes along with this. We've got a song leader that could lead it. Page 43, if you want to grab your songbook. We had another comment over here, I think, Jan, before you lead singing.
So I should have said this earlier, but when it spoke about... Or was it where during the daytime God directed his... Yeah, okay, so verse 8, by day, the Lord directs his love, and at night his song is with me. I thought that was such a cool picture of how God led the people of Israel through the wilderness, like they're lost in there. And I think it's a pretty cool picture that, you know, of God like leading with the fire during the day and the cloud of smoke at night, providing everything they needed. Just follow. And that was kind of cool.
Very good. Very good comment.